Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of Indocon Industries Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. K.R. Lalpuria, Executive Director and CEO of Indocon Industries Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon and a very warm welcome to all of you to the Indocon Industries Q2 and H1 FY23 earnings call. I extend greetings to all of you for the festive season and the new year ahead. I have with me Mr. Muralidharan, our CFO, and Strategic Growth Advisors, our investor relations advisors. Happy to connect with you all once again to discuss the Q2 and H1 FY23 performance. Let me start with the industry and business scenario during Q2 and H1 FY23. Global businesses have been impacted by inflation and higher interest rates. Our industry has been impacted by these challenges in addition to the problem of over-investment in inventory by big box retailers. Consumers continue to focus more on purchase of essential products rather than discretionary purchases, and this has caused challenges in offtake for our industry. We believe that this should continue for a couple of quarters. Talking about our key markets, the upcoming holiday season demand is expected to be highly promotion-driven. Currently, combination of lower consumer spends and easing logistical challenges left retailers with inventories that are higher than usual. However, we believe the holiday sales may help them get back to regular inventory levels. Domestic scenario. On the domestic front, Indian economy continues to do well. The retail sector is in the growth mode. With the new cotton crop season coming in, we believe that India will be at par with other countries for cotton prices scenario. Apart from that, India's efforts on the various treaty and FTA agreements, introduction of PLI 2 scheme, and the continuation of RoSCTL will help us further to move ahead and be a key supplier to the global textile market. In view of the China Plus One strategy, we believe the Indian textile industry's long-term growth prospects remain unchanged. We believe the medium-term recovery of demand will be largely aided by the downward trend in pricing for the new cotton season, the resolution of supply chain concerns, and the actions taken by the individual governments to combat inflation. Overall, we continue to be positive on our prospects, given that we have sufficient capacity with our acquisition and could see better ordering patterns from the big box retailers in FY24. We believe that as we increase our utilization levels to meet this anticipated demand rise, it would lead to operating leverage benefits. Coming to our performance and recent updates. During the quarter, we have achieved the volume of 20.6 million meters. We have witnessed good traction in the domestic market for our brands, Boutique Living and Layers. Our e-commerce business is on a growth path, and by FY 2023, we are targeting this to contribute 10%+ of the top line. During the quarter, we have witnessed volatility in cotton prices. However, as a strategy, we would invest into our supply chain so that we are cost-effective and we can service our customer better. Key developments. We are committed towards investing for the growth continuously. GHCL acquisition. Our acquisition of the home textile business of GHCL Limited was completed on second of April 2022. As we speak, we are intertwining the two manufacturing units to scale up our efficiencies and deliver a better business. We have gained a new set of customers via this acquisition. We will be able to offer a large bouquet of offerings, including a range of products from GHCL's kitty to our existing customers. Besides, we also aim to target our existing range of products to GHCL's existing clientele. With this cross-selling opportunity, we will be able to realize synergies from this acquisition. Amalgamation of PSMN. We have completed all the necessary steps towards the amalgamation of our subsidiary, Pranav Aditya Spinning Mills Limited, with the company. I am also happy to update you that we are on track both in terms of timeline and cost with respect to our CapEx project, which entail incremental home textile capacity from 90 million to 108 million meters. This will operationalize by H2 FY 2023. Curfew facilities and additional top-of-the-bed capacity, the work is in progress, and this will also complete by H2 FY 2023. Enhancement of spinning capacity to 68,000 spindles with a CapEx of rupees 270 crore is on track, and this also will complete by H2 FY 2023. Now, some updates on the B2C and D2C segment. We are advancing towards B2C and D2C segments through high-quality product offerings across varied price points. Our e-commerce business is on a growth trajectory mode. We are promoting B2C and D2C strategies with the addition of U.K. distribution channel. During the quarter, we have launched health and wellness global brand Gayam in U.S. during the market week in September. The Gayam home collection will feature an extensive range of bedding and bath solutions that will help consumer restore, relax, and enjoy a better night's sleep. It will be available in stores and online in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico markets with retail partners in spring 2023. All the efforts which I spoke about are focused on diversification and providing product with better value addition. ESG initiatives. We continue to remain an ESG-focused organization with well-defined principles, roadmap, and targets. During the quarter, the company has achieved highest score for HIC Index FEM, Facility Environmental Module. The HIC Index delivers a holistic overview that empowers us to make meaningful improvements that protect the well-being of our factory workers, local communities, and the environment. Awards and recognition. I am happy to share that Indocount has been awarded winner in Within the Fence category in CII's National Award for Excellence in Water Management. Apart from that, our chairman, Shri Anil Kumar Jain, has been awarded with Industrial Excellence Award by the Textile Association of India. This award recognizes his contribution towards promoting Indian textiles globally and achieving industrial excellence in this sector. Also, Sri Anil Kumar Jain has been conferred with the Mahatma Award for Lifetime Achievement in Corporate Social Responsibility, Sustainability and Social Impact. This is for the impact made on society through the works of IndoCount Foundation, which is our CSR arm. Now let me share with you our consolidated financial performance. Kindly note that Q2 FY22 financial includes ROSCTL benefits of ₹49.99, referred to as 50 crores, for the period of January 1, 2021 to March 31, 2021. We will compare our performance therefore excluding this one-off. Also note H1 FY22 figures does not include Bhilad unit figures. Total income is ₹849 crores in Q2 FY23 versus ₹767 crores in Q2 FY22. Total income is ₹1571 crores in H1 FY23 versus ₹1476 crores in H1 FY22. So the income has increased on a YOY basis. EBITDA, ₹120 crores in Q2 FY23 versus ₹139 crores in Q2 FY22. EBITDA, ₹261 crores in H1 FY23 versus ₹267 in H1 FY22. EBITDA margin stood at 14.1% in Q2 FY23 versus 18.2% in Q2 FY22. EBITDA margin stood at 16.6% in H1 FY23 versus 18.1% in H1 FY22. PAT, ₹67 crores in Q2 FY23 versus ₹85 crores in Q2 FY22. PAT, ₹144 crores in H1 FY23 versus ₹202 crores in H1 FY22. EPS, we reported an EPS of ₹3.38 in Q2 FY23. We reported an EPS of ₹7.29 in H1 FY23. Net debt during the quarter stood at 762 crores versus ₹906 crores in March 22. Net debt to equity ratio stands at 0.47x as of 30th September 22 from 0.57x in March 22. Now, this is all from my side. I now leave the floor open for the question and answers. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Bharat Chhoda from ICICI Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so thanks for the opportunity. I had a few queries on our numbers. Like current quarter, we have a gross margin close to 51%, and just wanted to know if we had any benefit of a low-cost inventory from March 2022 over here. And also, is our low-cost inventory completely exhausted or some is still available with us?
Yeah, thanks, Bharat, for the question. If you look at the Q1, it was a one-off because the cotton was covered in the season, like say during December, January and February. So it was at a competitive price. And as the price went up, we have a first-in, first-out methodology. to capture our cost. And during the quarter, the price at which we considered our raw material cost was higher than the Q1. So there has been an impact on the gross margin due to this.
Okay.
And secondly, as we move forward, this will be till the end of this year because we are carrying a high-cost cotton in the Q3 as well. But the season has already started. The cotton prices have come down, and even though it is volatile, we see that the crop size is good. So we expect that the price should moderate as compared to last year, and it will provide us an opportunity for us to reduce our raw material prices going forward.
Okay. And sir, our average realization has actually increased from 355 to 395. So what is the reason for this higher realization? And also, with cotton prices now declining, so would the average realization trend downwards from the next few quarters? Would this understanding be correct?
No, you see, the product mix keeps on a little bit changing, you see, as the season changes. And of course, our focus is entirely onto how we can promote further value-added products. As we all have been saying about how we are focusing upon fashion bedding, utility, institutional bedding, how we are focusing on different strategies to promote licensed brand goods, how we are promoting B2C and B2C brand, how we are playing on the domestic front towards promoting our brands, how we are promoting the utilization of capacities going forward and building synergies onto operational efficiencies. And that's the reason you see that slowly we are trying to see how we can gain a better margin profile for the product which we sell and getting away from the commodity sale. So this is what the strategy which we have been building for the last three, 4 years, which is paying good dividends to us. So that's why you see we will see to it how we can improvise our margin. But as we all know, that last year there were various impacts onto many things, like, say, the raw material, the logistic cost, the recessionary trend, the inflation, and the retailers having higher inventory margin. So even though those all impacted, but our efforts will be to see how we can sustain or improvise on our margin profile going forward.
So, sir, would it be fair to take this kind of a realization, or should we take it trending lower? That is some clarity on that, if you can provide. Because product mix would obviously add to it if you are having a superior product mix. But would, because of cotton prices coming down, the entire thing probably would go down. Is it possible, the realization?
I think the cotton prices are relevant to bringing about our overall competitiveness into how we promote our goods overseas.
Okay.
And so definitely, as how we are positioned into the mid to high segment, our endeavor is always to try and see how we can sell better-end goods and to see how we can realize much better value for our goods when we sell. So these are the efforts which I mentioned before will help us in order to sustain to some level. But as we all know, there are various impacts on the global trade, and this we all need to wait and watch and see how it pans out going forward on the margin side.
And sir, could you just share GHCL volumes for either Q3, H1, FY23, if possible?
No, as I mentioned, you see, GHCL and Kolhapur, we have to take as one unit because you see, that's the whole reason we have actually acquired this asset, to see how we can synergize and intertwine both the capacities to see how we can service our customer much better. And that's the sole reason for bringing in this addition of assets to see that not only our capacity build-up is there to be market-ready, but also to serve the customer better with both cross-selling our product basket as well as improvising upon what GHCL margin profile was there going forward. So it will be false on my part to provide you, you know, numbers differentiating between these two. You have to consider it as one.
Okay, sir. Thanks for answering my queries. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kapil Jagyasa from Edelweiss Broking. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. And good numbers in a difficult environment. So my first question is on the demand outlook. Like, we already are into mid-November. So any improvement seen here on the demand environment in US or Europe markets? And also, what would be our order book position as on today?
See, first of all, you see the demand is still subdued, and we are all expecting that the once the holiday season ends, how the retailers have fared in onto their sales, that will be, you know, the basis of informing you how the demand has improved or whether it is the same. Because the inflation is still continued in the U.S. It only moderated to some extent. But the geopolitical concerns or the high inflationary environment and the our increase in the input cost all are impacting the overall, you know, sluggish the demand offtake. So we believe that you see post the holiday season at least this would improvise the inventory levels with the retailers to at regular, you know, at regular levels of inventory, they would, at the inventory levels would normalize, I would say, if the sales are, holiday sales are good. So let us wait and watch till the holiday season ends. This time it has delayed a little bit because of the shrinking of wallet size and the inflation. So we'll be better able to tell you about, you know, how the demand improvises in our next con call.
Okay. And so, like, what would be the order book like for us, you know, has that, you know, stayed the same as compared to last year, or, you know, like, just a ballpark number would be fine?
See, I had mentioned earlier on my con call that, you know, the first two quarters are on similar lines, and the trend hasn't improved in Q3, and going forward Q4, we will be able to better tell you in our next con call because we will witness the holiday season sales. So I think more or less it will be on similar lines, you know, as what we did last year. Even if we sustain those, you know, at least we will protect our market share and we will service our customers much better, and we will work hand in hand with the customers to see how they can overtake this difficult situation.
That's fair, sir. So my next question is the partnership with Gaiam. So, like, this partner, this Gaiam, the offerings are at the premium end, or it's a value offering, you know, some like color on this, like it would be fashion bedding, or how it would be, the realization per meter would be how much from this end?
So it's a very good, strong health and wellness brand in the US for the past 25 years and doing pretty well on that front, and they have selected us because we are in the comfort area where we can provide product innovations to meet out the expectations of the consumer to have a better sleep. So they have similar, you know, offerings, so they tied up with us, and this strategy will help us, you know, promote value-added products and the collection will feature, you know, both in the bedding and baths areas, which will help the consumers of currently Gaiam brand, you know, to have a new product, I would say, and help them restore, relax, and enjoy a better night's sleep. So it will be a value-added product, and also it will be in the fashion bedding area and other areas which we are trying to promote. So overall, you know, the brand strategy will, this will help us, this licensed brand will help us improvise upon our brand offerings to the retailers, you know.
Okay. And sir, in your presentation, you have also mentioned, you know, there have been some brand additions. So like they would be into which geography, I guess, into US geography only. And like how much revenue contribution would be expected from these brands, say, in the next 5 years?
So we have been making an all-round efforts to promote our brand strategies, as we mentioned, like this is important to us, and we have earlier mentioned that overall our on a FY22 revenue, we have notched up a sales of almost 10% towards licensed brands and our own brands. So only if you look at the FY23, you know, situation, because of the inflationary trends and, you know, the situation out there, which is due to the geopolitical concern, there has been a slow offtake on the branded goods side and on the high price goods. So currently the sales are a little bit muted at the moment on the licensed brand and brand, but I think it should improve because the online sales are also improving, and post you know, the holiday season, as the inventory levels trickle down, you know, we feel that this will be having much more prominence into the US sales when we promote licensed brands and brands. So definitely we hope to improve our numbers in FY24 on the branded sales side.
Okay, thank you for that. And sir, just last question from my side. Like the other expenses are up by 14% this quarter. So like any reason specific this, you know, what could be the like breakup in this? And I guess that would be all from my side.
No, see, the other expenses are because you see, first of all, if you compare on a H1 to H1, they are because of the Bhilar unit getting absorbed. And secondly, we also have promoted some goods in Q2 to see how we can, you know, act upon and help the customers to liquidate some part of their inventories. So those are the strategies which we are adopting to see how we can, you know, protect our market shares and move forward and help the customers also protect their own market share.
Okay, fine, sir. Thank you for answering all the questions.
Thank you.
A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Abhineet Anand from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good afternoon. First of all, just wanted on GHCL side, in the balance sheet, what's the fixed asset and working capital that has been added, sir?
Abhineet, about 340 crores have been added in the fixed assets. These are reflected in the property, this one, and equipments.
And on working capital side?
Working capital side, you know, we added about 300 crores roughly in terms of inventory and receivables.
Second, from the global retailers, how are the inventory levels? Are they still high, sir, or there has been some, you know, from the last, say, 6 to 9 months, how has been the trend?
The trend continues because you see earlier the transit time taken for the ships to reach there was almost 45-50 days, and now it has reduced to 30 days. So quicker receipt of goods, and secondly the sluggish offtake also, not on the regular like usual terms, because of the sluggish offtake, the inventory levels are still there, but they are, because they haven't ordered large quantities on the replenishment side, the inventory levels definitely have come down what it was in Q1. We hope that, you know, the holiday seasons will definitely help them improvise upon this inventory levels once they are able to sell more products during the holiday seasons on a promotional basis.
And one of the things that, you know, the OTEXA data suggests is that for this current year, which is CY22 first 9 months, India seems to be having lost a lot of share on the cotton side, the seed. From 50% now at 50%. So just wanted your thoughts that what is happening there. Pakistan seems to have an edge. Can you just throw some light on that, sir?
So we all know that the cotton rates have skyrocketed in India almost to 1 lakh rupees a candy. So the raw material cost went up and so the prices. And once the retail prices were jacked up by the retailers, they did not have the similar offtakes what they expected. So that's the reason you see, because of the higher prices, they lost some sales, and because of the inventory too, they have lost some sales. Now, this I think should improvise post this holiday season, as what we all expect to be. Till now the demand is subdued, but we hope if there is a good holiday season, this should improvise going forward.
Okay, so if the data says that Pakistan numbers will improve, so does Pakistan have enough cotton for their own exports, or do they buy from outside? How is it, sir?
No, so because product mix, we were expensive from Indian cost standpoint, and Pakistan is at the low end. So the product categories move towards the lower end, and that's why Pakistan got a traction and India's exports suffered because of a higher price offering. And some of the product mix also got interchanged to synthetic, like blending with viscose, tensile, and polyester. So overall, you see that India lost some of the market share to Pakistan because of the price competitiveness. But I think going forward, as the cotton prices improve, India should gain a traction, because India is very well positioned, and the reliability and credibility of Indian supply chain, they have all witnessed. And India is very versatile into their product offerings and can offer all different kinds of products, both the coarser varieties as well as the finer varieties. So the reliance on Indian supply chain is more than, what Pakistan can offer, but only because of the lower price good positioning of Pakistan helped them gain some market share from India during this period.
Okay, and lastly, on GHCL, what are the steps that, the company is taking to maybe bring its margins, which used to be, I think last year was lower, to the levels where Indocown numbers are? And how will it play over, let's say, 12, 18 months?
So we are consistently engaged with our customers, and they feel confident once we have come into picture, and they are very happy to deal with us, and we are making strategies to see how we can offer Indocown's product, because GHCL was just selling sheets and was not in fashion, utility and institutional bedding. So we are trying to increase our product basket to the customers which we acquired, and also we are working on how we can have operational leverage by better utilizing the capacities going forward, and we are intertwining to see how we can build synergies within the two units and see where we can save money and make a better margin profile for the sales which GHCL in the past had. So all kinds of strategies are being implemented to see how we can improve, and this is a long-term strategy wherein we have acquired this unit and the assets are very good and the customer base are good. The product profile, what they were selling, is very good. So we are quite confident that with our overall strategies, we will be able to see when the market revives, we should be able to improvise on our, margin base.
Thanks. So the last one, I think you talked about something on other expense. One, obviously, the Bilad unit getting added, and something other than that in terms of customer, I didn't understand. If you can slightly elaborate on that.
Yeah. You see, because of the recessionary trend, and the inventory levels, the brands and the retailers are in a promotional mode. So we also need to see that how we can help them by handholding in this promotional activity. So to some of the customers, we have offered,
Promotional.
Some promotional expenses to see how they can, fare much better in their marketplace and, do much better. So that's what I mentioned.
Okay, okay. Thanks, sir. Those were my questions. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is from the line of Aman Manchanda from Augmenta Research Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. So can you please highlight on, how are we looking at volume given the current scenario? Because as we are in the process of increasing the capacity from 90 million liters to 108 million liters, so can we say that, the volumes would be higher or the same as last year? Can you please throw some light on this?
See, the volumes may be similar to what we performed in the first two quarters to some levels, depending upon how the holiday season pans out. But the capacity additions are all long-term strategies because we see a lot of things getting promoted out of India, this China Plus One strategy, the FTAs, India's position onto the cotton side of the supply chain, India being considered as a, highly growing country where everybody would like to participate in their growth. And with all the kind of relationship which we are developing currently with different countries and trade blocs, I think these are all strategies towards, getting much more market share in the future where China is retreating to some extent due to their higher cost as well as their focus on the domestic market. So I think the capacity expansions are all towards, bringing about long, medium and long-term strategies. Just because of these geopolitical concerns, this year was a difficult year for everybody. The cotton prices went up, the logistic cost went up, the recessionary trend impacted the retailers with carrying higher inventory. The wallet sizes shrunk because of the inflation. Our input cost went up. So all these factors came within a year. So we should not get a little bit gung-ho about this thing. I think India is very well positioned on the textile front as a supplier, and we should see good capacity utilization in the coming years. So we are quite confident that such strategies which we have where we have invested into our capacity building, both with from 90 to 108 in our existing plant and through our acquisition, will help us to deliver, our long-term strategies.
Okay, sir. And sir, can you please also throw some light on how has been the logistical or the container issue of the in the U.S. geography? Has that eased or is it the same as previous we faced?
I didn't get your question.
Logistic issues, whether it has been rectified now.
Sure.
So I think by and large, the logistic issue, container availability have all now eased a bit, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
So going forward, at least for the moment, there is no concern as far as the availability of containers are concerned for exports.
No, but one more thing I will add here is that, Chinese economy is slow at the moment. Once it gets up, maybe the logistic cost side may go up to certain extent. So we are all waiting and watching to see how it pans out in the medium term. But currently, yes, to what Mr. Muralidharan added, you see, there is some easing out on the availability of containers as well as the, on the cost front. Hello?
The line for the current participant has dropped off. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. next question is from the line of Aditya Sarana from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead. Aditya Sarana, your line is in the talk mode. Please go ahead. So just give me a minute. Mr. Aditya Sarana, your line is in the talk mode. Please go ahead. We have lost the line for the current participant. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Aman Sandalia from AK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question, sir. Right. Sir, the reason for the boom in the home textile was work from home culture due to pandemic. So now the pandemic is over, so whether we will...
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Sandalia, there's a disturbance from your line.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah. Yeah. So the reason for the boom in the home textile was one of the major reason was due to this pandemic, work from home culture. So now the home work from home culture is, I think it has come down a bit. So whether we will get this that business going forward?
Yes, home has become the center stage during pandemic, but we all feel that there has been a structural shift how you look up at your home now. And everybody is upgrading and, decorating their homes to see, how they can live much better life and lifestyle. So it has become the center stage of our life and lifestyle. Secondly, you see the wellness factor, like it's better sleep. So our product is connected to the wellness factor. So this will definitely do well, in the coming year, what has been anticipated in all the discussions going on. And we see an uptick, into areas where in fashion, bedding, utility, institutional also moving up. And you see people spending more money on traveling, and luxury and etc. So we feel that this is bound to stay, and India also as a country is very well positioned on this product, as you can see from the market share it has in the US. And unfortunately we were not at level playing field in Europe and UK, where we were paying 9.6% duty as compared to Bangladesh and Pakistan paying no duty. So once the FTA is signed, that market also will open up, which is an equivalent like on value and volume terms to what the US is. So definitely these are the opportunities which will open up further for the home products to do much better. So we are quite hopeful, and this we are just discussing all the time about the US, Europe and UK. There are other countries which are developed. Globally, like say Japan, South Africa, like say Australia, Middle East and Latin America. So the consumption is there, and definitely as these markets open up with equivalent duties or certain trade agreements with India, definitely these products will do extremely well and the consumption will move up and we'll get more opportunities to export. So we are quite confident about this, the product line which we are into.
Sir, one more question, that the logistic cost has come down, cotton prices has come down. So whether we will able to better our margin in the next two quarters?
So it has just started, the season has just started, but even though the season has started, you can see the volatility. The cotton prices have come to 64,000 rupees a candy and again went back to 70,000 rupees a candy. So we have to wait and watch for the arrivals. The arrivals are currently, they should have been in the range of 1 lakh bales and above, but they are at a 65,000 bales level. So once the arrivals improve, definitely we'll see that the prices moderate. And that's when we will get a, you know, that's when we get a chance to buy, you know, cotton at a better rate rather than today. Because today we are carrying some inventories till December with our old prices. So definitely post, you know, in the Q4, post Q4, we may like, you know, get an advantage there. But let's see how it pans out, you know. We can never say about how the speculation and the commodity behaves, because certain other countries like Pakistan and USA had a bad crop. So let's see how it pans out. But definitely the cotton situation has improved because of the higher cultivation of cotton and a higher crop this year.
Okay. And sir, one last question. Whether we will see at least the same volume in the next two quarters, which we have achieved in the last quarter?
Yeah, we are working towards it. It should be on similar lines as what the last two quarters are on the volume side. We are quite hopeful, you know, that they should be on similar lines. We are working towards it. And as I mentioned earlier, we are all waiting to see the next 4 weeks how the Black Friday and the holiday season sales are.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in this conference, we request you to limit your questions to two per participant only.
Yes.
The next question is from the line of Aditya Sirana from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. My question. So my question is again on the margin front. So
Sorry to interrupt. Mr. Sirana, your audio is breaking up. We're not able to hear you properly.
Hello. Hello, I'm audible?
Yes. Sir, can you use the handset mode while speaking and not the speakerphone? Mr. Sirana? Mr. Sirana, are you able to hear us?
Yes.
Sir, we are not able to hear you clearly. I'll request you to return to the question queue.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sajal Gupta from FE Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, Lalpuriaji, and congratulations to report such good set of numbers in trying times.
Thanks, Sajal.
My question to you and the management is that on a macro level, like what is happening in Pakistan economy right now, wouldn't the buyers there who are sourcing from Pakistan looking at India as a sourcing country? And plus, today FTA has opened up in Australia. Have you started making any headway on that side? So if I look at this way, things, you know, you have more buyers coming to yourself. If I'm correct, in next 2 to 3 years, don't you see that the whatever capacity you have built up, you should be able to utilize that capacity in next 3 to 4 years' time or 2 to 3 years' time?
So, thanks, Sajal, for the very good question. And certainly, you see, there are challenges into the Pakistan economy. Pakistan is also a strong contender on the textile front, with both raw material and a good setup. Unfortunately, they had their own problems on the flooding side, as well as you see on the power side, on the gas side, to be precise. So the supply chain has been disrupted. And secondly, you see, Pakistan is at the lower end of the market segment, and India is positioned onto the mid to high segment. So they were able to do much better in EU, UK, and other lower segment of the marketplace where India is not much present. So if you look at the reason, you know, why they could garner 4% additional market share in the US was the reason because they competed with India at the lower front, and to some extent, the market share moved from the mid segment to the lower segment because of the high cotton prices and the price rise. But you see that the confidence level of the buyers and the brands and the retailers are now post this China Plus One strategy is very clear that they want security of the supply chain apart from the cost factor of the supply chain. So here India stands out much better because India has got a very versatile fiber, manufacturing. They have got a good setup of, manufacturing setup in the complete value chain. They have got a traditional labor force which understands textile. And currently, the government is also focusing on textile through various measures by handholding the sector and the industry. So I think this will help us to gain, confidence in the global market as compared to what Pakistan is doing going forward. So definitely, this is a positivity for the Indian companies to gain much more market share. And because of the FTA also, as I mentioned earlier, we are not on a level playing field in EU and U.K., where we are paying 9.6% duty and India and Pakistan is paying no duty. So once that FTA is signed, also India will gain advantage into these markets where it can grow its own market share from 4% to, say, at least 20%. So this is the future what it seems to be going forward as compared to what Pakistan's industry is doing vis-à-vis Indian textile sector. Secondly, on the Australian front, we have signed an agreement with them. The nitty-gritties and the finer things are being discussed and settled between the two ministries. And because they have a new government, it is taking a little bit of time, but it should happen, by, say, during the first quarter of next year. So that's what we anticipate. But having said that, you see, the confidence level of the brands and retailers out there is very upbeat on how they can improvise upon their buying and sourcing from India much more. So we are seeing a good traction of customers from Australia currently, which are demanding, our Indian products. So definitely, we feel that once this is put onto bed, the whole agreement and we get that advantage of duty, definitely our market share will improve with Australia. We are very much, confident about that. And secondly, also I would like to add, you see that the Australian market per capita consumption on the home textile is also very high, as similar to what UK and other countries is. So that will provide us enough opportunity to offer them a complete basket of products. So I think the lifestyle over there is of a developed nation, so this will provide us an opportunity where we are positioned. So I think definitely it will improvise our numbers, going forward on how we trade with Australia, So these are both positive going forward. Lastly, you see, as I mentioned, we have built on all these capacities for long term. And when we had 90 million meters and we were at 75 million meters, we already consumed almost 85% of our capacity. So we needed to add on to our capacity from 90 to 108 in order to cater to our customer demand. And you have seen that in FY20 and FY21, we had a very good growth of, say, 26% and 17% in 2 years. So we felt that there is a need of capacity expansion at the current where we exhausted our both land and building area. So we needed for the future when the FTAs are getting signed and how India improvise its position with different countries like Australia, GCC countries, Canada, EU, UK. And once those things happen, we should be market ready. And this opportunity of GHCL came to us, so we grabbed this opportunity to add on this capacity. There was complete synergy. So all these capacities, we are quite confident that in the next 3-4 years, it will give us a definitely good advantage to be market ready And as we are a customer-centric company and we are a focused company on the bed linen side of the business with strong financial fundamentals, I think all these factors will help us to see how we can get more market share in new markets as well as the existing markets and service our customers much better. And everybody is looking at India because India is well positioned in textiles. And so definitely we are quite confident that in the next 3-4 years, we will play a good role into, you know, supplying bed linen to major, you know, customers worldwide.
I agree with you. So the opportunity size is so big right now for you in coming 3 years. So don't you see that in next 3 years, if not 4 years, you should be able to utilize the capacity to the fullest and move forward from there?
Absolutely. You are absolutely right. And that's the long-term strategy where we are building upon. And you see, I forgot to mention about Indian market also, which is also growing. Customers market is also growing. Whatever our fashion bedding, where China is playing a dominant role in utility, fashion and institutional bedding, as I have been saying for all these 3-4 years, we'll be able to gain much more market share from them as what we did on the sheet side of the business. So definitely, home textile is where India will do very well as, you know, compared to other countries. And as always, I had mentioned that both Bangladesh and Vietnam are focusing on the apparel side of the business, not on the textile side of the business. They are short of raw material and they are basically on labor arbitrage. Pakistan has got a saturated and limited supply chain of, you know, raw material. So India stands out, you know, basically India is exporting cotton, yarn and grey fabric and all that, which can be value added to see that how we can convert them into apparel and textiles like home textiles, etc. and increase our market share going forward. So definitely all these capacities, we are quite confident, you know, to consume going forward in the next 3-4 years.
Thank you so much, Lalpuji, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Coming time. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Kumar from Determine Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much. My question has been asked and answered. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhineet Anand from MK Global Financial Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again, sir. From your, you know, vast experience on the sector, can you, you know, throw some light, you know, in the whole chain of the textile part, spinning, let's assume, you know, a lot of spinners were making loss and all last quarter, and they probably their margins have now come up to a break-even point. So is it fair to understand that first spinning, you start, you know, breaking even, then after 3-6 months, the HT part of the business, you know, starts doing better? Is there any cycle like that?
See, I know my business and I'm a focused person on my business, home textile. So I cannot comment on a spinning standalone business. However, you see, every business will do well in the value chain. Because you see, India stands out onto meeting the expectation level of the global textile trade in all contexts. Because the production has been discontinued in developed nations in both spinning, weaving, dyeing, finishing. India has got a good advantageous situation where it should excel in all these fields. So definitely all the textile companies and the sector overall will play an important role into, you know, contributing to the Indian GDP going forward. And as we all dream about our 5 trillion, 6 trillion economy, you know, in this decade, definitely every company has to play an important role in the supply chain, you know. And companies which have established, you know, competitiveness, established technology and invested into it and are focused, definitely they will do well. There are short-term hiccups, you know, wherein, you know, they deviate from their strategy and policies. So then sometimes it is painful, but If they have a consistent approach towards the supply chain and the value chain and respect that, I think Indian textile sector should do extremely well.
And just one small data point, this expansion that we are doing, what is the debt cost for that?
We have already mentioned in our investor deck, like 200 crores which we were investing for in three areas, that is spinning, modernizing our spinning and addition of spinning at the Gokul Shirgaon unit, which we have completed. Secondly is expansion from 90 million meters to 108 million meters at our Kolhapur unit, which is in progress and we should complete it by, say, Q4. Then we are adding up a new facility on the cut and sew side of fashion bedding in order to service our fashion bedding and utility bedding segment, wherein the capex is on track and we should complete this by Q4. The other area where we are investing is 68,000 new spindle at Pranav Aditya Spinning, which we merged with IndoCount just recently. So the addition will be completed by again Q4 FY23, which is an investment of almost 270 crores, in which 160 crores is from debt and 110 crores from internal accrual. So this is what how the status on the capex and the investment on this looks like.
I just correct, it is 175 crores debt and 95 crores internal accruals.
So,
yeah. Okay. So I also meant that this 175 comes at what interest cost? If I'm assuming that there must be state incentive and all. So my question was more related to that. What 4% post benefits can we assume on that 175 crores?
No, there are no interest subvention benefits there. This is a term loan. So there is no subsidy on the interest.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
This should be the last question, I think.
Sir, we have one more question in the queue. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be taking the last question. That is on the line of Vivek from Noctech LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello, yes, am I audible?
Yes,
good. Yeah. Sir, I just missed your guidance on the margins in the coming quarters, like in the next two quarters of this fiscal.
You see, it's quite volatile to give purely a margin guidance. But you see, definitely the Q3 will be on maybe on similar lines what we reported for Q2, and maybe we'll see an uptick on the Q4 side. So we'll refrain from providing a margin guidance at this moment because we need to also watch the holiday sales as well as our cotton prices, how they pan out.
So, sir, with the holiday sales, you'll be getting the top line. So is it possible that we get the bottom line also with the good holiday season?
So we are confident with all the strategies which I spoke about. We are confident of, you know, having, you know, sustained some of the margins which we have developed in our business. So definitely you can look at, you know, improvising the margin in, say, Q4 onwards.
Okay, so there will be an improvised margin from Q4 onwards. Okay, and if this season does not become that good as you are anticipating, so the next leg of good margin will be from Q1 FY24.
Yes, that's how you can calculate. But as I mentioned, you know, we should wait for some time and we will provide you in our, you know, next phone call once the holiday seasons, you know, we get some traction to see how it liquidates both the inventory levels and how the replenishment business kickstarts.
Okay. So will there be any revision on capex if the things don't turn good? Like, there's a possibility, no?
No. They are all on track.
There will be no revision of capex. Okay.
See, the business is there. There is no structural shift. as far as the customer demand is concerned, this is a momentary thing which has impacted due to inflation. And we have to see, you know, both medium term and long term how it pans out. We all know during this year what are the reasons for, you know, the subdued demand and the subdued results. So those are very apparent. So I think once, you know, they get over, I think things should improvise because there are no structural shift into the consumption.
So, sir, what are the changes you are seeing in the structural demand?
Mr. Vivek, sir, that was the last question we could take.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you. Looking beyond the short-term challenges, we remain optimistic about the textile industry landscape. As the overall business environment has started to improve and moderating input costs and improving consumer sentiment as well, we at Indocount Industries are well positioned and market ready for the upcoming quarters. With this, I would like to thank everyone for joining on the call. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with me or Strategic Growth Advisors or Investor Relation Advisors. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Indocount Industries Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.